Good evening, everybody. Tonight's Divrei Torah should be Le'ilui Nishmas. Rav Mori ben Achaber Avram, Mori Neufeld, as well as Chaim Moshe David ben Alter Shalom Maris Hammer, whose yard sites are this evening. Our Divrei Torah should be a continued zechus for Acheinu b'nei Yisrael who find themselves in a terrible Eis Tzara right now. And we should continue to be mispalel and to learn on their behalf that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer our tefillas when asati shalom ba'aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should once again restore the shalom in Eretz Yisrael. So tonight maybe we'll discuss with the onset of the 9 days, now that this evening is Rosh Chodesh, perhaps we'll talk for a few minutes about the inyan of Tzipisa LeYeshua. We know the Gemara tells us that there are a bunch of questions that every person will be asked. La'asad lavo, la'achar me'ev esrim, when a person gets up to Shamayim, there are a bunch of questions that the Ribbono Shalom will expect us to answer. And to have sufficient answers for him. One of those questions that the Gemara tells us is Tzipisa LeYeshua. Did we make sure to carefully think about the Yeshua? Did we make sure to keep that on the forefront of our minds throughout all the years of the Gullus, throughout all the suffering? Were we sure to think about the Shekhinah, to think about Mashiach? And obviously it's something that we need to think about. We have a hypersensitivity at this time of year, but it's a question that we're expected to ask ourselves all the time. So the Smak, one of the great Rishonim, asks a question. If the Ribbono Shel Olam, in fact, is going to ask us this question of Tzipisa LeYeshua, there must be a mucker somewhere in the Torah that tells us that we actually have to wait for Mashiach. Where do you find it? Very simple question that none of us ever ask ourselves, but ask the Smak. Why should we have a question that's going to be asked La'achar Me'ev Esrim if we don't find the mucker in the Torah that we ever have to think about Mashiach in the first place? The Torah doesn't discuss it. Says the Smak as follows. It's a beautiful Smak. The Smak tells us that in the Aseres Hadibros we say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzeisicha Meretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avadim. Torah doesn't just tell us history. The Torah doesn't just tell us things that happened and events that occurred to Klal Yisrael in the sojourn through the Midbar. So why does the Torah over here tell us, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzeisicha Meretz Mitzrayim? Who cares? You took us out of Mitzrayim. Very nice, but we moved on. It's never happening again. Yes, we have a mitzvah of emunah. We have a mitzvah to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but why do we have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim? Well, says the Smak, you know what it's all about? Why did Torah write? The Smak is one of the Gedolei Rishonim. Why did the Torah write? Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Why did the Torah specify and choose to add that dimension into the mitzvah of emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says the Smak, because it's incumbent upon all of us to believe that the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, that is the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu who will take us out of our gullus and will take us out of our suffering. It's the same thing. And that, says the Smak, is the mucker for Tzipisa LeYeshua. That, says the Smak, is the place in the Torah where we find that everyone has a chiyuv to remind themselves at all times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who took us out of Mitzrayim, who did nisim gluyim for us, is once again going to do it for us, l'asad lava, when it comes time for the Mashiach to actually come. So that's a beautiful Smak, just to give us a little bit of chizuk when we say, when we lay in those psukim, when we think about the Aseres Hadibros, it's just an added value, it's an added dimension to what we mean when we say Anochi Hashem Elokecha. As we know, the Chafetz Chaim, there are many stories about the Chafetz Chaim, we'll just share a couple of them, where the Chafetz Chaim took this to a new level of sensitivity, where he used to think about Mashiach, where he used to contemplate the idea and what it's going to be like. So the Chafetz Chaim, I'll just read a few lines from what he writes in his Sefer, Machane Yisrael. He has a beautiful few paragraphs there about what it's going to be like and how we're supposed to approach this idea of Mashiach. Says the Chafetz Chaim, "Ayispale ha'adam keitzad yitachin sha'uma Yisraelis asher kayom hishvela muvuza le'enei kol." The Chafetz Chaim words are more true today than they ever were. Says the Chafetz Chaim, we shouldn't ask ourselves, we shouldn't be bothered. How is it possible sha'uma Yisraelis asher kayom hishvela muvuza le'enei kol? All the nationalities have the choice right now to decide whether Klal Yisrael is in the right or in the wrong, and most of them are choosing the other side. Most of them are choosing the unethical standard. Most of them are choosing to side against us. And ask the Chafetz Chaim, how could it possibly be that at a time like this, where all the odds are against us, where everyone is turning their backs on us, how could it be Tisromein lefesa pisom le'enei ha'amim? How could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a split second is just going to turn around and bring us a Yeshua and bring us a Geula? How are we supposed to be Mitzapa LeYeshua at a time like this? Asked the Chafetz Chaim. And the Chafetz Chaim says, Hayipali meHashem davar? Is there anything that should surprise us in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs His world? Me'azu mitamid na'ag imanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'derech hazu. This was always the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about Yeshuas to Klal Yisrael. And says the Chafetz Chaim, I'll give you a few examples. Amos I nolad Yitzchak. When was Yitzchak Avinu, one of the great Avos? When was he born? Bishasha Avram Avinu haya ben Meya. When Avram Avinu was already 100 years old. Begila sheberderech hateva apsa kol tikva la'adados haben. Yitzchak Avinu was only conceived at a time when it was impossible for a person 100 years old to have a child any longer. Be'ezem matzav nasan haya Yosef shezacha l'malucha. At what point did Yosef HaTzadik rise to power in Mitzrayim? When did he get the malucha there? When was that? Kishaya mushbal bebar hashvi yud beishanim. After Yosef HaTzadik was thrown into the bar, after he was in the dungeon, he was the bottom of the pit. He was the lowest of the low. No chance of his survival. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, Yosef HaTzadik is risen up to become the viceroy of Mitzrayim. Yaakov zachal yud beishvatim, but when did that happen? When did Yaakov Avinu get the Osher? When did he get the Nitzachon Shel HaMalach? Acharei Shehuchrach Litein LeAlifaz as Kol Masha Hayelo. Yaakov Avinu is naked. He has nothing left. He's just been stripped of anything that he possibly had in life. And that's exactly when the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to him and he says, you know what? From you I'm going to have the Yud Beis Shivteka. From you I'm going to make the whole Klal Yisrael. Everything's going to come out of you. Why? Because sometimes when Klal Yisrael bring themselves to a point where we're beyond any reproach, where we're beyond coming back, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu surprises us and he says, yes, the odds are against you, but this is how I'm going to show the Yad Hashem. This is how I'm going to show, like the Smak says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Otzisicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. The same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim is the same way. When we were at the lowest of the low is the same way he's going to take us out now. When all odds are against us, when everyone's turning their backs, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to appear to us, and that's how he's going to take us out, and that's what the Chafetz Chaim stresses. It's interesting. Rabbi Wolkin, one of the Talmidei HaChafetz Chaim, they have a Kisvei Rabbi Wolkin that the grandchildren put together. Actually, someone in the shul is a grandson. He put it together. So they printed the letters of his grandfather. And the grandfather used to describe many different episodes and stories that happened with the Chafetz Chaim while he was in yeshiva in Radin. So he writes about two balabatim who were putting together a business deal. And they were making deals with each other. What happens if there's a storm one day and the store gets ruined and we lose all of our merchandise? Who has to take all the fall? Then they made a deal. What happens if our community has a pogrom and one of us gets killed? What happens if our son wants to take over the business and the other son doesn't want to take over the business? They wrote all the tanaim, all the heskimin in the first place to make sure that there's not going to be any machlokas. And then they showed it to the Chafetz Chaim to review, to make sure that al pi chosha mishpat everything was clear. And the Chafetz Chaim began to cry. Rabbi Wolkin writes and he says, I can't understand. They came up with every possible scenario that can happen to their business and how they would split it up if something went wrong. What about the fact that Mashiach might come and the whole business is going to have to move? What are we going to do then? How come it didn't dawn on either of these partners to think about what are we going to do when Mashiach comes? Not that the business is going to close down, but we're going to have to buy a new store. We're going to have to sell the one over here. How could it be, said the Chafetz Chaim, that they thought about the rainstorm and they thought about the hurricane and they thought about the business that the son is going to take over and your son's going to fight and my son's going to fight? What about Mashiach? How come it doesn't enter anyone's mind? That's what the Chafetz Chaim had a problem with. In fact, the Chafetz Chaim also commented another beautiful story that when the city of Brisk wanted the Beis Halevi to come and be the Rav there, so the Beis Halevi originally was the Rav in Slutsk, and then he obviously had very difficult balabatim, so he gave up on the Rabbanus. He decided he's never going to do the Rabbanus again. So then they approached him from the city of Brisk, and they told him that they want him to be the Rav. And he said, no, I promise my family we're not doing the Rabbanus. Rabbanus Kaveris is Balea, we're not interested. I had a bad experience in Slusk, we're not doing it again. So then one of the major Balabatim from Brisk came and he spoke to the Beis Halevi and he said to him, I understand if you were offered a position you don't want to do it. Okay, it's up to you. But there are 25,000 Jews in Brisk who are waiting for the Beis Halevi to come and be the leader. How do you have the right to say you're not interested? Right away, the Beis Halevi went back home and he said to his wife, get my kapata, get my hat, we're going to Brisk. I can't make 25,000 Jews wait for me. If they know that they need a leader and they think I'm the one who can do it, how can I say no because I had a bad experience in Slutsk? And when the Chafetz Chaim heard this story, the Chafetz Chaim commented, he said, if the Beis Halevi is able to change his mind when he hears and he understands how much the people need him, that 25,000 Jews are waiting for him, imagine if Mashiach only heard how many millions of Jews were waiting for him. You don't think he would be at least as erlich, at least as menschlich as the Beis Halevi was to change his mind? Said the Chafetz Chaim, we just don't tell Mashiach that we actually care about having him here. He said the same way that the city of Brisk convinced the Beis Halevi to move, even though he had made up in his mind he's not interested. Once they told him that 25,000 Jews are waiting for him, he had no choice but to come. Well, said the Chafetz Chaim, the same would apply. If only we would show the Mashiach, if we would show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're interested in having him, that we're interested in his leadership, he would have no choice but to come and to join us and to lead us through this terrible galus and to give us the Geula. Reb Chaim Palagi writes in one of his Svarim, the Achronim quote this, it's a beautiful line. He says from the Tana Devei Eliyahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Metzapeh Lahem LeYisrael Sheyasu Tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting up in Shamayim Kavayachol waiting for us to do tshuva. Yoser Mimasha Metzapeh Ha'av LeBenov HaIsha LeBaila. Says the Tana Devei Eliyahu, which is a mimer from Eliyahu HaNavi himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits for us to do tshuva more than a father sits and waits for his son to come home at night. More than a wife whose husband has gone on a business trip and she has no idea when he's coming home. She doesn't even know if he's alive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's feelings for us to do tshuva are more severe, are more serious than that and those feelings. V'lem Rosh HaKol, says the Tana Devei Eliyahu, even given all that reality, Anu Holchem B'Shirus Libenu Ve'ein Ish Sama Lev Lemer L'chu V'Nashuva El Hashem. Says the Tana Devei Eliyahu, even though that's the reality, none of us bother to think, to take a step back and actually remind ourselves that this is what the Ribbono Shel'Olam wants. He just wants to hear that we care. And Reb Chaim Palagi goes on and he says, if only we would convince the Ribbono Shel'Olam that we're sincere about it, the Ribbono Shel'Olam also would have no choice, the same way the Chafetz Chaim said, he would have no choice but to answer us. I'll just close with a beautiful vart from Reb Zalman Valojin. He's the brother of Reb Chaim Valojin. So he says, in the beginning of Parshas Pekudei, the Pasuk says, Ela Pekudei HaMishkan Mishkan HaEdus. And Rashi already comments from the Medrash. Why do we say Eila Pekudei HaMishkan Mishkan HaEdus? It's the same word twice. Why do we write Mishkan twice in the same pasuk? Says Rashi, because it's a remez leMishkan shenismashkein b'shnei churbanim aval naseim shel Yisrael. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol took the Mishkan as a mashkon, so to speak. It's a play on the words. And instead of punishing us, he took the Mishkan and said, I'm going to take this as a collateral. When you do tshuva, I'll give it back to you. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. That's what Rashi quotes in Parshas Pekudei. As for Zalman of Lazarner, if you think about it, you look into the Psukim which talk about a person taking a mashkon. Somebody borrows money from me. Pasuk says I'm allowed to take a mashkon. But what's the din? If I take your suit, halacha is, I have to go back in the morning before you go to work, I have to give it back to you. Only at night when you're not wearing the suit, am I allowed to take it back? So as for Zalman of Lazarner, I don't understand. If the halacha is, the Ribbono Shel Olam himself writes in the Torah, when we have a malva and a lova, we have someone who borrows money and someone who lends money. The lender is only allowed to take a mashkon for a certain period of time, but then when somebody needs it back, he has to take it from him. He has to allow him to take it back. So how does the Ribbono Shel Olam violate his own rules? How is the Ribbono Shel Olam allowed to go ahead and take away the Beis HaMikdash? And he knows that we need it, but he doesn't give it back to us. How can that be, asked Reb Zalman of Alajna, an unbelievable kasha? I'll explain Reb Zalman of Alajna, I'll tell you why. Because what's the basis of the halacha by a malva and a lova? What's the basis of the din? Why, when somebody borrows money from me, why do I have to give him back his suit? Says Reb Zalman of Alajna, you have to read the psukim carefully, because the pasuk says that v'haya ki yitzak elai v'shamati ki chanan ani. What happens? Nebuch, this poor man, doesn't have a suit to wear to work, so now he can't go to work. He's going to cry out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's going to say, kalu kalakitzim, I have nothing to do anymore. What should I do? This man, I borrowed money from him, now he took my suit. What am I supposed to do? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't worry, I'll listen to you. V'shamati kichananani. I feel bad for that poor man. And it's an Eitz HaTovah, says Reb Zalman of Alojner. If you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to listen to that poor man, what's the poor man davening for? That you should forget about him, that you should leave him alone, that you should forget about the chov that you have. Said Reb Zalman of Alojner, the whole reason why you have to give back the mashkon to him is because he's going to daven that something bad should happen to you. And if you don't want that to happen, you better give back the mashkon. Well, said Reb Zalman of Alojner, that's only by a mashkon, by a suit that we actually care to have back. But what about when you talk about the Beis HaMikdash? The Ribbono Shel Olam takes away the Beis HaMikdash from us as a mashkon. Said Reb Zalman of Alojner, is there anyone who's crying out to the Ribbono Shel Olam and saying we need the mashkon back? How many of us care? We daven every day as Tzemach David Avdecha. Okay, we understand the words. How many people really care? How many people cry as sincerely as that Ani would cry if he didn't have a suit to wear to the office the next day? Said Reb Zalman of Alojner, if we would cry like that, then the Ribbono Shel Olam would have no choice. V'shamati kichanan Ani. He would have to give us back the mashkon the same way we're mechuyev to give back the mashkon to the Ani who borrows money from us. But since we don't care, since we're not V'haya ki yitzak elai, since we don't sincerely cry out so badly for the Mishkan, for that Mashkon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took from us, so Mimela, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't feel the need to give it back to us either. So perhaps when we begin Chodesh Av, and we now put ourselves in the mindset of Churban, and we think very seriously about the whole global situation that's going on with Klal Yisrael, it's something for us to think about a little bit. Just take a few minutes every day when we say Es Tzemach David, what do we mean? Do we really care for the Yeshua Kol Hayom? Every day, do we really want the Ribbono Shel Olam to give us back our own Mashkon that we deserve? Like the Chafetz Chaim told us, if we would ask him properly and we would tell him that 25,000 Jews are waiting for him, he would have no choice. The Ribbono Shel Olam Kabayach is a Bal Midas. He knows how to act nicely, just the way the Beis HaLevi knows how to. So perhaps, if we just put a little bit more kavana, a little bit more thought and sincerity into our tefillos, the Ribbono Shel Olam will answer us in kind, and he will give us all that we wait for with the Geula Shleima V'Amitis V'Karov, V'Meher V'Yameinu, Amen V'Amen.